Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Premier Football Podcast. Hyrule here, and we've got, well, almost a full crew. I've got Cal joining us later, but in the meanwhile, the other two are here with me. I've got Ewan. Hey, Ewan.
Hey, Hyrule. Hey, Atta.
And hey, Atta.
Hey, so since it's Valentine's Day, I just have a small poem for everyone. Roses are red, violets are blue. You know, I wouldn't be doing anything else but podcasting with you. Guys.
Nice. One day late, but
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Every day is Valentine's Day. Every day is Valentine's Day.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Love is every day.
So that you don't have to do the extra effort on the day itself, right?
Of course. You normalize certain things and then, yeah.
And in addition to that, this week marks the return of the Champions League.
Yeah.
After a long hiatus, we've got the round of 16. Starting this week, in the first batch of games, knockout stages. But the big change that we have this season is that there's no more away goals. Straight up comparison, you know, two matches, compare the goals. If they still are even after extra time, then we're down to penalties. So with that in mind, I'm going to ask each of you, based on the matchups, for this week at least, who do you think will go through at the end of the day, after all the dust is settled? There's two games. We're recording this on a Tuesday on the 15th. So there's two games happening tonight. There's a big one. Well, let's talk about the slightly smaller game first. Sporting Clube de Portugal versus Manchester City. Hatta, let's start with you. It's a no-brainer, right?
I think it's a no-brainer. I think it has to be Man City. I mean, they're steamrolling their way to the Premier League. They're in really, really good shape. You know, they've you know, I'm looking at the probability here, and you know, it says here 70% Man City probably wins, 19% probability of a draw. Sporting has like a 12% chance of winning, and I honestly I don't really see them winning. You know, they've got some pretty decent players, Sarabia, you know, who else? I'm just looking at their list right now. Yeah, you know, there aren't a lot of fantastic. I mean, they're a good team for them to be.
I forgot the center back, Sebastian Coates, ex Liverpool.
Oh, yes. Of course. There's Marcus Edwards as well, ex Spurs, I think.
Yeah.
Attacking midfielder, winger kind of player. But, they are a good team. The Portuguese teams are usually good. But Man City is just another level. I mean, they're just... Even when they have their lineups of... you know, they're integrating some of the kids right now. They're still, you know, operating like clockwork, you know? So I really think Man City will kind of win this. Maybe Sporting might give them some trouble in the first half an hour. You know, tactically they might be smart enough to get in there and cause a bit of trouble. But ultimately, I think Man City is gonna win this one. Maybe again, Sporting may not make it too easy for them, but they'll win this.
Both legs.
I think they're gonna win the first one, and then they're still going to win second one, but smaller margin, maybe. Smaller margin. At best, at worst, it'll be a draw. You know, they might rest some players and all that. I think Man City's going to... They've just got too much. They've just got really, really too much.
Basically, wrap it up after the first leg, lah.
I think so. And they could add in one or two, you know, younger kids into the equation for the second leg.
Ewan, agree with that?
Yeah, totally. I mean... I don't see a way Sporting Lisbon can beat Man City, especially over two legs, right? One leg is, you know, there's still a chance, right? That 20% chance or 19% chance you mentioned at the beginning, Hatta, you know, possibly 12. Goes up. 12, right? Okay. There are possibly doubles or even, you know, triples. But when you talk about over two legs, right? I mean, they could even win that first leg. They could win 1-0 or even 2-0. But when you go back to the City of Manchester Stadium, you bet Man City is going to hit like 5-4.
Some say, you know, the Etihad Stadium.
Oh, sorry, the Etihad Stadium. Some say in the 2020s. Yes, but yeah, definitely City is like the heavy favorite. I mean, of all the matches, I think they probably all due respect to Portuguese teams and Sporting Lisbon, I think they have the easiest matchup. Yeah.
Right. I'm gonna have you take the lead for the next one. This is the big one. Paris Saint-Germain versus Real Madrid.
Right. Yes, taking the lead, you know, that's what Blackburn Rovers likes to do, except that, you know, in the past 8 games, they've only scored 2 goals, so not much taking the lead there. But, you know, this is probably the big tie of this round of 16. Of course, the other one is Inter-Liverpool, but we'll get to that later. But PSG-Real Madrid, this is why it's interesting is because PSG have a powerhouse of a team. Of course, we know that Messi, Mbappe, and they're flying high, right? It's their time to win, you know, during this 3-4 year period, you know, and if they don't do it, it'll be quite remarkable that they don't at least get, you know, and to the final stage and win one of these trophies these few years. They were close in the last couple of years. But Real Madrid, right, are the wily old foxes of the tournament. Of you know, they have wily old fox coach Carlo Ancelotti, right, and all their players are experienced, and they're having a tough La Liga season. Although they're leading the table, but I think that works in their favor because they're having tough matches week in, week out. So when it comes to PSG, I think they have a slight advantage, because they play away from home first, and without the away goals rule. I think you can really just, you know, batten down the hatches, really. And if they draw, they'll take it, I'm sure. And then they'll go home and they'll go for it. But yeah, you know, I think just simply because of that. Although, you know, you could also see PSG winning big at home. So that's why it's such an interesting tie. But yeah, so we'll be watching out for this one. We'll be watching out for this one when it happens. So the goals from Man City.
That you sound very non-committal.
Yes, very on the fence for this one. I look at PSG, then I look at Real Madrid, and then I can't decide who's going to win. Yeah, totally on the fence.
Hata, can I have an opinionated answer from you?
Yeah, I need your help, Hata. Don't say Arsenal, that's all.
No, Arsenal hasn't been anywhere close. Anywhere close to Champions League. It's old money versus new money, right? It's old money versus new money, right?
Correct.
You know, it's old money versus new money, and I'm going with old money. I think Benzema is, I think, struggling with an injury. So he's one of the key players. He's almost the key player for them. I don't know whether he'll be making an appearance, but I think PSG has been really, really bad this season. You know, they've been disjointed in the way they play. Pochettino doesn't know how to manage this team. And I don't know whether there's a manager out there who could manage this team and all these great individuals. I think they're struggling for fluency, and that's not a problem that Real Madrid has. I think they're not as talented as some of the previous teams, but they're grinding out performances. They're being fluent with. I think Ancelotti is maximizing the talent that he has, and there's been some players like Vinicius who has had quite a standout season as well. Yeah. He's been carrying him, and Benzema has been carrying the team on top of their central midfielders, obviously. So you know, their whoever fills in the right wing, whether it's Asensio. Occasionally Gareth Bale has been playing recently, occasionally Rodrigo, and I think they've been doing quite well even without Benzema. They've been treading water. I think this first game, which is Madrid's playing away, right? I think it might be a draw. Purely because I think Benzema's not there. So without the Benzema factor, I think it might be a draw. Or they might be Wiley or Foxes and play. And they've been playing Bale as number 9. And he's almost scored. And he's had some great moments. And I'm leaning towards a draw with Madrid being a bit more dominant. And then Madrid with Benzema coming back, second leg, them sweeping away and taking the whole tie. I'm going for a draw on the first leg, just barely. And if it's someone's going to win, I think it's still going to be Madrid.
I have to agree with you on that. I think Real Madrid's going to make it by virtue of the fact that Real Madrid have gotten a good run going with them in the La Liga. You know, it's quite tough for them in La Liga this this season. The channel, the challenge is pretty tight this season. Whereas PSG are just running away with it in Ligue 1. You know, leading up to this, I don't think they've had much of a challenge. And I won't even be surprised if Real Madrid wins this in Paris,
right?
And then seals it up back home in Madrid. Well, moving on to the following day's two matches. First, seems like almost a derby here. Bearing in mind that the clubs are only about 150 kilometers apart. Salzburg, Bayern Munich, Hertha, left it off from you just now. Another one that's a foregone conclusion?
I don't think so. Mm. I think Salzburg can surprise them. Yeah. You know, they've well drilled and all that, and I think Munich has shown this season that without some of their star players, they might look a bit ordinary. Being the operative word. They still got star-studded team. I think without Neuer, who didn't play recently, I think. And they got trumped by Bochum, right? I think 4-1.
Yes.
So I think Munich have to be at the top of the game. They really do. But I think over the course of two legs, I think they can win it. But I think Salzburg will make it really, really tough for them. And they might even expect a surprise draw for one leg. And then, you know, second leg, they have to fight for the win, which they will. But I think Salzburg will make it easy for them.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to agree. I mean, looking at the lineup for like Salzburg, they have so many young guys, right? All in their early 20s or even, you know, 18, 19. And then there's a smattering of the old guys, you know, 30-something-year-olds. And sometimes this sort of mix works because you got the energy of youth and, you know, this spectacular striker also. They have a German striker, Adeyemi, who scored 14 goals in 18 league matches. So, you know, they might spring a surprise. And I think... these Austrian teams also, they can end up being pretty tough. And of course, it's another Red Bull team. So you know they have talent, or you know how they sort of work. So they've at least seeded or, you know, scouted and acquired some sort of talent, especially young talent. I don't think Bayern will run away with it. You know, next to Real Madrid, Bayern Munich are the other, wily old fox side, except that I think it is slightly less wily than Real Madrid, a bit more powerful and a little bit more competition in Bundesliga, I think. As Hata pointed out, you know, they did lose to Bochum, which I don't think I've ever seen Real Madrid lose to Bochum before and let in 4 goals at that. That being said, they've wrapped up the Bundesliga. So this will be a test for them, a big test. But again, over two legs and without the away goals, I think they'll probably still come through. They still have the advantage. So Bayern Munich for me for this one, eventually to get into the quarterfinals.
And speaking of teams, we've got a full team now. Kel's joined us. Hey, Kel.
Hey, man. What's up? Hey, guys.
Hey. Hey, so we've been going through all the Champions League fixtures for this week and picking out who we think will come out tops after both legs basically qualify for the next round. And before that, congratulations on Chelsea winning the Club World Cup.
Congratulations.
So if there ever is an alien invasion and they want to play football, they have to play Chelsea because we represent well.
Alien club team.
So London is no more blue. The world is blue.
Not only that, your favorite striker ever, Romelu Lukaku, you know, got the winning. Did he get the winning goal? Got the winning goal.
No.
It was one of the goals. The opening goal.
Kai Havertz has probably put himself into as a Chelsea legend now, la.
Yep. Give him finals to score goals.
Yeah, man.
Worth it.
Okay, so we were talking about tomorrow's game, Salzburg versus Bayern Munich. I'll catch up with you on the other on the previous games after this. But Salzburg, Bayern Munich, who do you think is gonna come up tops?
I mean, eventually, I mean, the first leg will be a surprise because Bayern doesn't have. I mean, Bayern won't be. They won't have Neuer, Kronzetra, Davis, and I think Jamal Musiala. He won't be playing as well, right? And we saw that makeshift defense they got torn in the first half against Bochum. And also that by not having these key players as well, it gave the likes of Thomas Müller dropping back even deeper. So it kind of created a very imbalanced squad. And the thing about these Austrian clubs is, I mean, Liverpool has played Salzburg before, back then when Minamino and crew came before he signed for Liverpool. And you saw the aggression and the fast-paced football, right? So if they play with that same aggression, that same style, they might give a go to Bayern, because Bayern just seem to be dipping a bit for now. But you know, 2 weeks' time, we will say that was just a one-off result, because I do see Bayern getting through eventually, but the first leg will be a scare for them. So they might lose like 3-1 or something, but they'll come back and just come back with a full squad.
Okay, so the games from the previous night, which basically the games they are playing later this evening. Firstly, Sporting Manchester City. Like I said to Hatta, do you think it's a foregone conclusion?
Yeah, it is, right? If they got so close the last time, and I don't think they're going to slip against Sporting. And the thing about these clubs is they, in Europe especially, they just go for it. And that suits City perfectly fine. If you want to play open football, let's just go for it. It suits the like of City perfect. So I think it's a foregone conclusion. We might see a 4-0, 5-1 kind of first leg just to close it up and see what Guardiola does as well. Because City have been on form. You know, the quietly, I mean, somehow all the news is about other clubs in their turmoil. And City just been racking up wins consistently in the Premier League. And Champions League, I think all the English clubs qualified with a game to go, with a game to spare. So I don't know. I think Sporting wants to play open football with City. They're going to get hammered.
And the big one for this week, PSG, Real Madrid.
If you saw Real Madrid over the weekend playing Gareth Bale as a striker, then trying Isco as a striker, then, you know, actually having a striker on the bench in Jovic, then letting him be the last guy who ever tried as a striker, it's hilarious. Shows you how dependent they are on Benzema and how much of a clutch player he is. Collectively, you think that Real Madrid is a collective stronger squad compared to the likes of PSG. But then you have to look into the factor of Neymar. I think he's back for this game. You've got Mbappe, you've got Messi as well, you know. And Messi loves the games against Real Madrid from his time at Barcelona. So they have to get the result. They have to beat Madrid. I don't think it'll be it'll be a draw for the first leg. And then PSG will actually win it overall. Real can hold on, but we'll see, because, you know, there's the same PSG squad that looks like it's going to gel and then doesn't gel. And then it's so inconsistent, yo-yo in the French league. But Champions League, they got Messi for the reason of actually winning it. And he's what, 35 this year? I don't think I have much time left to win a proper Champions League if Mbappe leaves as well. So you put all that factor in, pressures on PSG to deliver. So I think they will deliver.
So you're picking PSG over Real Madrid?
Yep.
So that is what, 2-1-1 with Ewan sitting on the fence?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of sort of, you know, on Real Madrid side. So, you know.
So now you say you're
2-1.5-1 or whatever the score is. Yeah, so yeah.
He's doing some kind of bookie scheme, 1.5.
Yeah.
Give me two ball.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Final game for the weekend, Internazionale versus Liverpool. Hatta, right. Who's your pick?
Wow, that's a blockbuster game. I it's hard to look past Liverpool, but Inter this season has been in scintillating form. They've even improved on Conte's formula, right? And are doing so well. Edin Dzeko is terrorizing defenses, and Lautaro and Alexis Sanchez, they're all coming back and interchanging. The movement is great. They're taking Serie A by storm, and you know, I think Liverpool will still edge it, but Inter will make it really, really challenging for them. And I would really love to watch this game. I think Inter is going to really push them to the hilt, for sure.
You win?
Liverpool, but yes, I think Inter right. will give them a really tough time.
Yeah, no, I definitely see Liverpool, you know, winning this one. They're too experienced and you know, too much of a big match team not to. Yeah, and I really would like to see them, you know, get started on some sort of a run, right? Some sort of a good form, because, you know, so far they haven't been playing that fantastic. And over the weekend, also the same thing, with that 1-0 win over Burnley. And I would just like to see, you know, they're capable of it, you know, but instead of fits and starts, you kind of want to see it over a sustained period, right? Whether it's like 20 minutes, 45 minutes, or even, you know, entire 90 minutes. You know, you're just wondering when, right? They're going to get into that Man City flow and then after that, you know, make a fist out of it in the Premier League. So, but, you know, looking at that, if Man City go on and win the entire Premier League, win the rest of the matches, they're going to win the league. Doesn't matter what Liverpool does. So this competition, I think, has even higher stakes for Jurgen Klopp and his squad this year, because, you know, I hate to say that it's a backup trophy for it, you know, because I don't think it's any less prestigious, but this is the one that they have a better chance of winning, because, you know, they don't have to play catch up, they don't have to go on a run of, well, they have to win all their games, of course, but they don't have to technically win make up a certain number of points. So but I think this will be the match that we'll see Liverpool come out again and show some of their form, and I really hope they are able to transfer that to the Premier League as well, because yeah, it's nice to see them winning, you know, because they don't have that huge squad that Man City have, you know, but like Hata said, Inter will be a tough challenge. I'd also like to see the Italian teams come back into form and you know, become part of the, you know, the not just the mainstays but also challenging for the trophies in Europe, especially the Champions League. So but yeah, but this time it's not their time yet, definitely. So Liverpool to go through for this one.
And Cal, who's your pick for this matchup?
I would like to see Liverpool play ugly against Burnley.
Get
the better chances, right? But Liverpool still grind out the result. But Premier League, I did on Inter, so I think they drew with Napoli 1-1. As well, that Napoli was also... Napoli's straightforward, fast-paced attacking team. I could see Inter getting the lead like at halftime or something, but just imploding in like 10 minutes, the same thing that happened against Milan, where Milan just went for it, you know, and then Liverpool, because Liverpool, technically speaking, they just need 10, 15 minutes to do proper damage, to get one or two goals, to nick it and then close shop. They can do it that way. They did against Burnley as well. They kind of tried their best to close shop. And of course, Alisson had a few good saves and all. But I think Liverpool win it in the first leg, 2-1. And don't expect much from the second. But I think Liverpool will win the first one, 2-1.
Right. So that's all our picks for the first round of games for the Champions League last final 16. We'll have the second half next week when we have the other four games. So do look out for that. Now, Hata, we missed you last week. And I think Kel missed a little poem he had for us earlier in the show.
Oh, yeah. It's a Valentine's Day poem.
Kel's unsure now.
What did I do? It wasn't me. I was under the influence.
don't say anything incriminating. So Hata, what's piqued your interest in from the world of football for the past 2 weeks?
You know, I you know, being the Arsenal fan that I am, I recently caught on this, I won't say fad, but this thing where pundits and this thing that pundits and players and the internet says, oh, you know, why are you celebrating? It's only a ... insert occasion, right? So two instances which I saw this was with Arsenal winning against Wolves. I think they were one man down, and then Ruben Neves came out saying, they were celebrating as if they won the league, which was a bit of a over exaggeration. But why wouldn't they be, celebrating? You know, football and all sports is about the passion and emotions and the joy in winning, and why shouldn't they be, celebrating? And yeah, I call these people the celebration police, right? Like, you only must win like a trophy, then you can celebrate. No, that's rubbish. That's rubbish.
And some people say you must only win certain trophies, right?
Certain trophies, which brings me to Chelsea as well. I think I saw yesterday Burley saying, the Club World Cup is not prestigious. Yeah, maybe in England, because they're all snooty about it. But look around worldwide, especially in South America, and they take it really, really seriously, right? Mm-hmm. As a Chelsea fan, they'll be happy, or they'll be saying, oh, Man City, da-da-da-da-da-da. But Man City would kill to be in that position. They want to be in that position because they wanted to win the Champions League, and they didn't, Conversely, when Arsenal was one man down against Man City, and I think Rodri scored a last minute goal to break the deadlock, he celebrated like as if he won the league, and he did it in front of Arsenal's fans, and no one ever called it, no celebration police called him out for saying you've not won the league yet, you only scored against 10 men on the last minute, so it's true, right? So
it's not being an Arsenal fan, huh?
But even
people give you crap. You don't win.
Exactly. All these red cards are coming in, which are unjustified. but celebration police, really. Yeah, I think it's stop policing how people should feel and enjoy the game. Same thing with Chelsea, right? They won it and they enjoyed it. Why shouldn't they enjoy it? Really, I can't stand the celebration police. So. Please take your negativity somewhere else. People want positivity in football. People want to enjoy this sport. So I was quite annoyed with it. Maybe I should hear it from Cal, who's another victim, so to speak, and maybe from Ewan, who supports a team which doesn't get as much joy, right? So maybe let's hear from Cal. Like, what were your thoughts when some of these people are saying it's only the Club World Cup?
It's only a Club World Cup because even in England, the FA Cup has been relegated. And I love the FA Cup as well. It's an old school kind of trophy where, upset can happen, things can happen. And the English media and the hype, if it was Liverpool or Man City playing in the Club World Cup, it'll be given a whole other spectrum, a whole other twist to it. Like how it's so prestigious that they're winning all these massive trophies as well. So to me, it's just the fandom. It's just the media trying their best to actually, push it further. And I think it was on ESPN as well. Was it Craig Burley? Or was, I think mm-hmm. He was just hammering it and saying, oh, it's a useless trophy. But everyone's like, no, it's a trophy that the clubs want to win. You get to put the badge on your kit and you walk out with pride. And people forget how Barcelona won it, and Barcelona put it on their kit and it looked awesome. And everyone was afraid of that Barcelona team with Messi and Neymar and all. So to me, it's ridiculous. And if you want to watch the game, a club wins. So I get it. There's like banter. But if you're going to purposely just beat every competition down and say, oh, this is rubbish, or that even the FA Cup, oh, it's not worth it. It's just ridiculous. It's just getting a bit ridiculous. And what's next, the Champions League? If you're saying this about the Conference League, I understand the one that Spurs is playing in. Oh, wait, they're out of it. Sorry. But, that I understand. But everything else, I don't get it. I don't get it. There's more than one title in the world. Inside the Premier League, there's more than one title the clubs challenge for. So, and you're right, Hata, when you say you win the Champions League, you're entitled to go and play the World Cup Championship, which makes sense, right? You're playing the best clubs. And Palmeiras didn't show up to make up the numbers, man. They were going at it. And the stadium was basically a home ground for all the Palmeiras players and the staff, because it looked like they were in Brazil for all things. So, haters can hate. And what else can you do, right? Just enjoy the game.
Ewan, your thoughts?
Totally agree. I mean, just thinking about it, right? When was the last time I celebrated Blackburn even winning a match? And that was probably like 20 years ago when I first moved into my place. No, not 20, 11 years ago when I first moved into my place here. And I got cable for the first time, right? And I'm like watching on the Premier League matches, right? I'm telling my wife, watch out. This guy's about to take a free kick, right? This guy's the Norwegian David Beckham. And she's like, what? Norwegian David Beckham? What? And then he takes a free kick and he scores. Of course, that's the legend of Morten Gams Pedersen. But yeah, so, it was funny. I was running up and down the house. That was before I had kids. So it was like, yeah, and you just celebrate, right? When you have a chance to celebrate, you should celebrate. That's why we celebrate the goals. That's why we celebrate every win, you know, because you never know when is the next time you will get to celebrate again, especially since, you know, a team like mine been relegated, you know, stayed down many years, got relegated again to the third division.
Maybe,
you know,
when Ronaldinho finally joins.
Yeah, as, I don't know, what, tactical assistant? I don't know. But no, never. I don't think it's going to happen. But yeah, you know, I think you should. I think especially for, if you talk about, like, you know, supporters of smaller clubs, for instance, like mine, you win whatever cup, you know, the League Cup, that's huge, right? You win promotion, huge, right? I mean, I don't even mind that if they're second this year in the Championship, because if that's the case, they win promotion to the Premier League, and that's huge, right? Nobody after that remembers who won whatever, you know. They just just look at the next game and the next game from there, you know. So yeah, celebration police, always party poopers. I agree. Yeah, sports should be celebrated. So we should celebrate. Yeah. And Haru, what about you? Because, you know, I mean, Liverpool were on the up. They won the Champions League. They won the league. And then suddenly last year, they didn't win anything, right? So it was, it's like, you know, you got a good team, but you want to celebrate, but you can't, because there's these Man City buggers here that are, like, you know, winning everything.
Yeah, but you're talking to a Liverpool fan who's been a Liverpool fan since 1986.
There you go.
Yeah. I was a fan for Liverpool during when they were winning every year, winning something every year, to a period where they weren't winning anything for a very long period of time. Yeah. You know, there was always that little sense of hope every year. Yeah. You know, would say it's the hope that kills you, lah.
Yeah.
But so, to me, I don't take it for granted, you know. And I don't take wins for granted. I don't take losses for granted.
Yeah.
Right. You just treasure the moment, lah. You know. Treasure every win. If it's a loss, yeah, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, correct.
There's always next season. And you know, as with all competitions, right? At the start of every season, everyone has 0 points. Anything is possible.
Right. Correct.
So, right. So yeah, I mean, that's the pragmatic Liverpool fan in me talking, lah.
So Manchester United fans are currently going through that whole, you know, current run where they look like they're not going to win anything for a while.
Yeah, but so, you know, a lot of the Man U fans, I don't know, to me, lah, a lot of the Man U fans out there, right? They've started being Man U fans during the period when they were winning everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can't handle this current right period. Now.
The devil is testing them. The devil is really testing them.
Literally.
that's actually quite right. Most of them were during the Ferguson era, right?
David Beckham.
Really in school that was supporting.
A young David Beckham with his brown cream hair and...
Cream, man.
Not a lot come from the generation where it was Brian McClair, Mark Hughes, you know, Bruce and Pallister before they got relegated, right? You know, so yeah,
they didn't get relegated.
Early on, right? Oh no, they almost got relegated.
Almost got relegated.
Alex's career, correct.
Yeah, but then he turned it around.
Yeah,
and it still had a team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know won that cup, like, and it's the same thing that won that cup, turned it around, and somehow
the whole team that got immortalized in song, lah.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And then they bought Cantona, right, in '94.
Yeah.
Yep. And then that was
them to another stratosphere.
Yeah. Correct.
Gotta support Chelsea then.
Okay. Since you guys mentioned the celebration police, right? So what do you guys think about, you know, of football players, you know, when they go back and score against one of their ex-teams. And you see this thing now where they don't celebrate at all. They just restrain themselves, you know, like...
Celebrate, enjoy yourself. Come on. Politically correct, don't hurt feelings. Just do it. Just go and do it, man.
He's channeling his inner Adebayo.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, that is antagonist. That's coming in and screw you guys. No, but it's got a goal, a good time. You just enjoy it. I mean, Adebayo is like on the other end of the spectrum, right?
Yeah.
antagonizing them, he's taunting people, but you score goals, just enjoy it.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, go Google it or go look for it.
He
on
ran
YouTube.
Across the pitch, like the length of the pitch, and he did a knee slide, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if you I recall again another Arsenal game, when Danny Welbeck scored against United at Old Trafford, FA Cup, you know, he celebrated, he had a good time, and yeah, why shouldn't you? You know, I mean, he is very well liked, you know, at Old Trafford, and he was a youth player, but just enjoy scoring your goals. And sometimes it's sweeter to score against your ex-team, especially when they let you go for whatever reason. Maybe they think you're a surplus requirements, all the better, right? I mean, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think, you know, sometimes when I watch them not celebrate, I think a lot of the times it's because they have, you know, good long relationships with the club and especially the fans. So, you know, you go back, they're like, okay, you know, I would, you know, over celebrate, you know, but they do high five teammates and also, I think that's fine. I think it's those that are like, they score, then the teammate comes high five them, they're like, get away, go away, you know, slapping away the high fives. Then you're like, that's a bit extreme, lah, you know, because, you know, your teammate can celebrate, right? So you just, yeah, just
yeah. You know. I understand sometimes they feel conflicted, so that's fine. But but sometimes they go a little bit too out of the way to appease people, right? And that's where it feels a bit inauthentic. I was reading an article on ESPN recently, not about celebrating, but actually by Espanol captain Darder. I think it's like Darder, and he talked about how sometimes when he he would lose a game and he would be inconsolable and all. He, you know, so sometimes you want to unwind and you want to go out, you know, maybe just go out for a meal with a friend or your family, or your wife, and people would slack him off, right? Or why are you out? Why are you enjoying yourself? But, you know,
why not, right?
People relieve tension in different ways. Some people cook themselves up at home, and it's not always healthy. Sometimes you need to go out and just unwind and you know, it's quite often these things are really to pander to people, and people only have one way of looking at how you should react and respond and act, and I think that's unhealthy. You know, do what makes you happy, respectfully, maybe don't do an Adebayo, but
doing like how Chris Maguire did it.
Hmm.
Sunderland. If you've seen that,
for our fans who don't know, maybe Cal, you wanna.
So Chris Maguire was released by Lee Johnson, the Sunderland manager, and he wasn't released in the nicest way. He was just basically told to pack up and leave the club. So Lee Johnson, Chris Maguire, pretty much was asked to leave. He went. He joined Lincoln City in I think the League Two, and he played in Sunderland and he scored a hat trick. And every time he scored a goal, he ran towards the Sunderland bench and try to fight for the ex-manager and just rub it in his face. So he scored the last goal, the hat trick. It was just pure housery. He just goes to the guy and he just like stands in front of him and goes, what? He just walks away. And Sunderland fans were booing him and all. He didn't care because, you know, it depends on, I think players not celebrating against former clubs is almost similar to players kissing the badge whenever they score.
Mm-hmm.
And then next 2 years you'll be kissing another badge. And so just, I mean, if you want to, unless you had a really good relationship with the fans or whatever, then to me it's you celebrate, you score, you celebrate, simple as that. Because now even celebration is on pause, right? Because of VAR. So many things that happen.
And can you imagine like if you're one of those journeyman footballers or footballers who've got a long career, right? Like James Milner, for example, who hardly scores.
You can't celebrate at all.
Because like half the Premier League teams you've played for them. You suddenly score for one of them, I can't score.
Exactly.
Just have a good time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If it's not like your childhood club or something, and if I mean you've no connections to the club at all, at any way, for it and celebrate.
Yeah, agreed. Well, speaking of celebrations, Hatta, are we gonna see you celebrating any goals soon through GoPro on Boot Hype?
We did one, but you know, YouTube has been really, really challenging for me because you know the time taken to edit these videos. I've been really, really busy with work, and the time to just do these videos and even writing my reviews. I'm still in the midst of writing one of my reviews. Hopefully, by the time this comes out, the review for the Adidas Predator should be out. but it's been really, really challenging. I've also taken my booster about a week and a half ago. So I'm going to be back playing this coming Saturday. So I don't know whether I'll be putting on a GoPro. Maybe I could just put it on and see what goes. Not so review focused, but let's see what happens. For in the meantime, might be a while until the GoPro sees the light of day again, until I find maybe an editor. So if anyone out there who can edit YouTube videos, please reach out to me and reach out to us, and I'll be more than happy to work with you on editing my YouTube videos. That's really, really tough part. The editing would take you hours and hours and days, choosing the right footage and all that. So yeah, pretty, pretty challenging. Right. Yeah.
Well, whatever you do when you celebrate, don't do a Steve Morrow. So, you know, yeah. Don't break any arms, shoulders, or anything like that.
Right. No. I'm not that hardcore with my celebration. I usually just point to the assistant and say, "Hey, thanks for that." So I'm a team player.
Good boy, like you.
Good boy.
No, like Robbie Keane, machine gun.
Somersaults.
Not in a five-a-side.
Sniffing on the line like Robbie Fowler.
Oh, my God.
But maybe once, you know, the 8-a-sides come back, the 11-a-sides come back, then it does feel a lot more serious and nice. And let's see where we go from there. Yeah. 5-a-side is a bit tough. Like, we did friends, right? You probably scored a few or whatever. And yeah, maybe not so much. Yeah. Yeah, but a lot of my friends are really looking forward to 11 side, and I've never played striker in 11 side, so I'm quite itching to get on that train and play striker. So let's see what happens.
So speaking of football coming back, we got local football coming back this weekend. There's the Community Shield that's mm-hmm. between Lion City Sailors and Albirex Niigata.
Yep.
So
Lion City Sailors just keep adding players every week.
Yeah. A good curtain raiser, you think, guys?
Carol? Oh, very, very tasty. Very, very tasty.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm quite keen to see. I mean, you know, some people who were quite cynical last season were saying, for all the money that was spent by Lion City Sailors, you know, that the football didn't look fantastic. And they could only win Albirex Niigata's team of reserves, and essentially they are a team of reserves and youth players, right? They could only win them by like 1 point. Right? I mean, again, being cynical, right? Having spent all that money, millions, literally millions of dollars on these Brazilian players and the best Singaporean talent. That's only so far, it's only how far they've gotten. It'll be interesting to see this year, because I think they brought in a lot more talent, more millions of dollars worth of talent. So let's see how far they go. Part of me, and I'm really curious to see whether they improve in the style of play and how far they can push Albirex Niigata, which, you know, for the footballing purists, they look like they're a really, really good technical team. And the only thing lacking about them is possibly experience, right? Because they are, again, the youth B team from Japan. So I think that'll be a very interesting story, you know, that the Japanese foreigners are kind of the underdogs, for lack of a better word, against, you know, the rich Singaporean incumbent, which is usually quite the opposite, right? But so I think that'd be quite an interesting narrative to see what happens. Yeah, it'd be fascinating.
Yeah, I agree. Just seeing how the new players gel, and if Lion City Sailors actually fix up their center of the pitch with a proper midfielder, that will help them a long way as well, right? So it'll be exciting, but my only concern is you bring in all these star players. Will the Singapore players be? I mean, you have to play your star players, right? You have to, you know, if you bring in a 1, 2, 3 million, whatever the cost is, and they are playing in the similar positions to the like of like the Belgian winger plays in the same position to the likes of Gabriel Quack, Faris Ramli. So what happens then? Who drops out and who? So it's going to be interesting, because you do want local players to play as well. It'll be a bit different than what they're used to for the Lion City Sailors, and it might not be beneficial in the long run for the national team. Just thinking out loud. But yeah, it's an exciting game. I think it's going to be an exciting season. Some of the kids are out already.
I do wish that these foreign players do push, you know, the standards of your Gabriel Quacks and Faris Ramli.
That's what you hope for.
That's what you hope for, like, instead of them saying,
But having said that, you know, the likes of Gabriel Quack, age-wise, you know, he's no spring chicken, lah, right? I don't think he's, to be honest, I'm not sure he's got much more in him to push than what he's been giving right now. So it might be a tactic, or it might be a strategy by LCS, you know, that they recognize that Gabriel Quek's over 30, right? And
getting his real estate license already.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so they. I mean,
play him in the middle of the park. I'll actually play him like a center attacking midfielder kind of role, because he seems to release the ball a bit quicker than some other players we've seen. You know, we'll just hold on to it and then you go missing with it. But I don't know. I think you're right. I think if you're, once that 30 plus and you're a winger and you're not in a like a prime pacey winger, you don't have that.
I mean, you hope like what Hatta says, right? You hope that they recognize this and then they adapt themselves and you know, try and switch to a new style of play, new position, bearing in mind that they have all this other competition for their places in the team, be it from locals, new up and coming locals, or from foreigners, lah. But all we can do is just wait and see what happens, lah.
And who will you guys be supporting? Which club will be your club?
Lion City Sailors for me, man. I'm convinced because, you know, my kid's going to the academy, so...
plug. But,
yeah, plug, right, yeah. He's asking me every day, you know, when are we?
I have to say Lion City Sailors by virtue of the fact that I was a home United fan for the longest time, lah. Right. But
you having shop on Shopee as well. Are you fan of that?
That's true. Well? I shop on Shopee more than Lazada, But
we just have
kiss the badge, kiss the Shopee badge right there. Kiss the Shopee badge right there, man.
I won't kiss the badge on the shirt, I'll kiss the sleeve, right? But I don't know. I mean, you know, if Tanjung Pagar moves back to playing at the old Queenstown Stadium, yeah. I might go back to supporting them again, because that's quite close to where I am at the moment.
I've no allegiance. Really don't. I'm just curious to see who plays well and just have a good time. Really, really no allegiance. So let's see how well they play. Yeah. But I've half an eye on Albrecht Nagata, because after seeing how they played last season, I thought they looked fantastic, and I thought I thought, you know, if purely from a football purist side of things, I think they were fantastic, and I'm partially keen to see how they play, and how well they play. But yeah, that's pretty much it, actually.
I mean, I think it creates a good narrative, right? You have this big Singapore billionaire club buying all the players. You expect good football from them sooner or later. And then you have like the Albirex Nagata side, who's like, you know, B team from Japan, skillful, fast, speedy, play very, very good style. So, well, at least you have two different sort of teams which are poised to be good, right, this season. So, you know, may it continue, and hopefully, you know, build from there and get the crowds back into the stadiums to watch the matches. Yeah, be excited for them. Yeah.
Cal, so Tanjung Pagar again?
Awesome. Where else can I put my allegiance? Blake Rashuto is back. For those who don't know, Blake Rashuto went back to Uruguay. And because it was always like messaging me on this Instagram, we just go back and forth. So I'm like, hey, good season. You know, he's like, I hope you come back. He's like, yeah, we'll see. Boom. 3 days ago, the fella re-signed with Tanjung Pagar. And he's like a midfield dynamo, SpongeBob, what do they call it? Sideshow Bob, with his long curly locks.
Nice.
So you can't miss him. So I'm excited. The kid looks good. Team looks back gelling. So yeah.
So the question is, how much was your cut, Cal?
As an agent to get him to stay,
undisclosed,
right?
Fee.
Undisclosed fee. Undisclosed supply of curry puff and teh tarik for 1 year. but if you ever see the kids, I mean, the one that's been getting a bit of flack is the Geylang United one. The fans are not happy with at all.
Well, they had to do a massive transformation, so they piece together what they could, right? Let's see how far they go. Not easy.
Lion City Sailors one isn't that great either. Not a fan of that pseudo V collar, V neck collar.
The one from Hougang. They've got their sponsor in the center, and they've got a Polar sponsor, not the Polar Cafe, the Polar Sports Watch. on that as well. That's a pretty cool kit. And I like Tanjung Pagar's kit.
That's FBT, right? This year?
Yeah. I have to buy two, like I said, and then sold to the
No, you buy two. One at home, one away. Then you have one of those like jigsaw kits, right?
Half and half.
Yeah, half and half. That'll be quite cool. Idea.
But idea nonetheless. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, that's happening this weekend on the 19th.
Yep.
On a Saturday, 5:30 PM, Jalan Besar Stadium. I think tickets are on sale already.
Tickets are sold out.
Wow.
Sold out. Nice. So you're gonna catch it on Facebook or YouTube on the SBL official channel.
Yep. So should be exciting. It's a pity that attendance is only capped at 1,000. But
I know.
Yeah.
Should have played this at a national stadium, but that's another conversation
for that's another topic for another night. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, anyway, that's all we have for this week. More Champions League talk for next week. All the other matchups coming up. I'm guessing the Man U fans should be waiting to hear our opinions on for next week. That should be interesting.
Manchester United.
The team that can only play 60 minutes.
So many jokes you can insert, I tell you right now.
Okay. Before we get any hate mail or flame mail.
We already got that, in case you didn't know, on our Instagram.
Somebody commented.
So basically, I won't say the person's name, but he commented, "You only have to bash United. They're a solid team. They're going to come back. You watch out. You support. Blah, 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 blah." Just... And I'm like, okay, that was before the Burnley game, before the Southampton game. Then I replied the guy back and like, "Hey, have you seen the game?" No, he just blocked me totally. He's one of the few that I've seen.
Bother.
Nice. Sometimes it can be quite fun engaging some of these trolls sometimes, like the lengths that they will go to.
I love dishing it out, but
Well, that's all for this week. I'll speak to you guys again next week. Ciao, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Ciao. All
right, see you.
Bye.